Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to be here with you this year in your missions conference. And thank you, dear people, for being so faithful Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. And I have no idea what you did Saturday night, but you can repent about that at the end of the day. But it's a joy to be here. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. The Gospel of Luke chapter 6. And I'm just going to read two verses. And if you're able and would like to, I want you to stand as I read verses 37 and 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. And I want you to notice something as I read, okay? God says, do something or don't do something, and then he gives us the results of that, okay? Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Dear Lord, thank you for your Bible, the Word of God. Thank you that you've not left us to wonder who you are, what you want done. And I pray this morning, Holy Spirit of God, that you would anoint my mind, that I could think right, my lips, that I could speak right. Help me to be a blessing to your people today. And Lord, whatever you do, not only this morning, but any time in my life, I'll be more than happy to bend my knees and bow my head and give you all the glory. I do not desire any of it. But Lord, I would like to glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Notice the Bible says in verse 37, judge not and you shall not be judged. Now think what Jesus is saying, and you'll know that this is just two verses from the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus is saying to us, if you will not be so judgmental about other people, they'll not be so judgmental about you. That's a good thing. Amen. And then he said, condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Have you ever noticed that it's a whole lot easier to find something to condemn somebody for than it is to commend them? But the bottom line is, when we condemn somebody, usually we're not helping them. For instance, wives, if you ever catch your husband doing something good, and if you look hard enough and long enough, eventually you will, okay? It'd be a good thing to commend them for that. Whatever you commend them for, they'll do it better next time. And by the way, husbands, you go home today, and if your wife has prepared a good meal, it would probably be a good idea for you to commend her for that. If you don't, you may be like me and eating TV dinners, okay? Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. And by the way, I'm sure that all of us this morning could think of something that we've done or said somewhere along the line that we'd like to be forgiven for. And the way to be forgiven is to forgive others. The verse we want to think about today, and I'm sure that in my 70 years of preaching, I've quoted this verse literally thousands of times. But as I was reading it some time ago, I could not help but think, it deserves more than just being quoted. It is filled with great truth. So let's look at it this morning. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, here, Jesus is giving us an illustration. It's an agricultural illustration. And he pictures a farmer. And the farmer takes a basket and he puts wheat in it. Now he's going to sell this to someone. And he wants to be sure that whoever buys anything from him will get all they deserve and more. So he takes that basket and he fills it up with wheat. And then he takes his hands and he pushes it down. And then he shakes it together. And then he fills it up all the way to the top. Now what is Jesus saying? He's saying, I want you to give. And we'll get to that in a minute, okay? But he's also saying, whatever you give, you're going to get more back than you gave. How many of you remember the phrase, baker's dozen? Remember that? You know what that meant? You go to the bakery, you buy a dozen donuts, and they would throw in an extra donut. So instead of getting 12 donuts, you get 13. Now that's the old days. I think now if you go to the bakery and buy a dozen donuts, you'd probably get 11, okay? But it's a different generation. The word give, God must have loved the word give. Because in our English Bible, 811 times we find the word give or some derivative of that word. Now, there are several synonyms for give. Give, yield, commit, present. And notice what the Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you. God that created the entire universe, just by speaking a word, through faith we understand that the worlds, not just planet Earth, but the worlds, the entire universe, was formed by the word of God. Now, you may say, Brother Sisk, you're old, and you're from Kentucky, and you probably didn't have good science teachers, and you never learned about the Big Bang theory. But could I submit to you this morning? I believe in the Big Bang theory. God spoke, and bang, there it was. And by the way, that's exactly the way it happened. God said, and it was. Genesis. God said, and it was. So, God spoke the world into existence. It was created by him, and it was created for him. James 1:17 says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his. You know what that verse is saying? Everything we have is a gift from God. Everything. You say, well, Brother Sis, you're a preacher. Everything you have may come from God. But I work hard for everything I've got. Congratulations. And who gives you the power to work? And who put you in a country where you could get a job to work? Listen to the word of God. Who Who maketh thee to differ from another? That's a good question. It's a rhetorical question, a question that has an obvious answer. Who maketh thee to differ from another? And the answer is simple: God. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. God created us. God made us. And then he said, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Answer, nothing. Everything I have is a gift from God. God created the entire universe. He created for him, and it was created by him and for him. Now think about it. What would an omnipotent God who created the entire universe desire from someone like me or you? And yet, he has some desires from me and for you. Number one, I am confident without any question whatsoever that God wants you to commit your soul to him. See, how do you know that? It is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says of Jesus Christ, he came into his own. His own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Amen. Salvation is a free gift. And God makes that offer to every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of the earth. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God desires your salvation. It is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen to one word from Romans. The wages of sin is death. Now think about that. The wages of sin is death. What is wages? Wages is something we earn. Have you ever heard anybody make the statement, all I want is what I deserve? If you have, you could say to that man, no, you don't want what you deserve. Amen. The wages of sin is death. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. And if you got what you deserve, and I got what I deserve, we would spend eternity in hell, separated from God. But then the last part of that verse said, but the gift of God is eternal life. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's a gift of God, not of work, lest any man should boast. So we find God's mercy keeping from us what we deserve. And in that verse, we find God's grace giving to us what we do not deserve. Has there been a time and a place in your life? Think about it. Don't just come to church and close your mind. Don't just come to church and assume. Come with an open mind. Has there been a time and a place in your time when you realized you was a sinner on your way to hell and trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you can honestly say that today, would you lift your hands just as a testimony? There'd been a time and a place in my life when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. By the way, God desires that for everyone. And don't ever let anybody fool you by telling you anything different. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God wants you to commit your soul to Him. By the way, if you commit it to the church, it won't do you any good. You commit it to baptism, it won't do any good. You present it to good works, it won't work. Jesus said very plainly, I am the way. Not one of the ways. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Number two, not only does God desire that you commit your soul to Him, God desires that you present your body to Him. Listen to Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You say, Brother Sis, what does that really mean? I believe it means this. I come to a place in my life where I make a total commitment to God. Paul said, I beg you by the mercies of God's been merciful to you, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That you come to a place in your life where you say to God, dear God, I'll be anything you want me to be. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll give anything you want me to give. And I can hear somebody say, Brother Sis, wouldn't that be dangerous? God may want you to be a missionary. Wow, wouldn't that be horrible? No. God knows better where you need to be than you need to be. I love this statement. God reserves the very best for those who leave the commitment, that choice to Him. God reserves the very best for those who leave the choice to Him. He desires that I commit my soul to Him. But not only that, He wants me. And He wants you. Then I'm convinced that God not only wants my soul, God not only wants me, but for some reason, and this is hard for me to figure out, but God wants my substance. Wow. God that created the entire universe, and He was created by Him and for Him. And yet this great God desires that every one of us give some things that He has given to us back to Him. In Malachi chapter 3, the question, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But we say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings? Are you a tither? Do you give at least 10% of everything that God gives you back to God through the local church? That's what tithing is all about. Are you a tither? If you're not, according to the Bible, you're robbing God. I heard Brother W. Jones say that one day back in 1953. And I thought, I wouldn't want to rob anybody, but I really wouldn't want to rob God. And I went forward that day and I said, Brother Jones, I think I've heard about tithing before, but it never meant anything to me. But this morning, I've committed myself. And I want to commit to you in the church that from this moment on, everything God gives me, I'll give at least 10% of that back to God through my local church. That was a long time ago. Thank God I've never failed to do that. Now, when I made a commitment to tithe, Brother Jones told the church about it. And when he said, Don has come forward this morning, made a commitment to be a tither. Now the treasurer didn't jump up and say, thank God. Now that Don's going to tithe, our financial problems are over. In 1953, I was working at King's Foundry for $1 an hour. My tithe was only $4 a week. What are you saying? It did not make a big difference in the treasure of Black Oak Baptist Church, but it made a big difference in my heart. And I found out if I would do what God told me to do, God would do what he told me he would do. 1968, I heard about Faith Promise Giving. And I'm confident God wants every one of you to give something to Faith Promise. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. And my first faith promise, 1968, was $5 a week. And I've increased that giving every year since 1968. What does God want from me? God wants your soul. He died for you. I heard a song the other day on the radio as I was listening. It made such an impact on me. Now, relax. I'm not going to try to sing it this morning, okay? That would empty this church in a hurry. But the song went something like this. Think about it. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. You think about that. Over 2,100 years ago, when Jesus Christ hung on Calvary's cross and the sins of the whole world were placed upon him, he died for the sins of the world. He became sin. Now, be careful. He did not become a sinner. But when he died on Calvary's cross, all of the sins of the world were placed upon him. Every horrible sin that's ever been committed was placed upon him. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God through him. God desires my salvation. God desires myself. And God desires my tithe and my faith promise offering. Let's bow our heads for prayer. With our heads bowed and eyes closed. Simple testimony tonight. How many of you tonight, this morning, can say by the uplifted hand, Brother Sis, if I die this very moment, I have biblical reasons for knowing that heaven would be my eternal destiny. Would you lift your hands real high? Leave them up for a minute. Lift your hands real high. Leave them up. Thank you. May put your hands down. How many of you this morning would have to say, Brother Sis, if I should die this very moment, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I don't have any biblical reasons for believing that heaven would be my eternal destiny. But I'm confident I don't want to die and go to hell. Spend eternity separated from God and everything that's good. The brother says, this morning from the depth of my heart, I'd like to know I'm saved and going to heaven. Would you just give me the privilege of praying for you? I won't know your name. I wouldn't call your name if I knew it. And I will not embarrass you in any way whatsoever. But I would like to pray for you. Anybody over here on my left, just lift your hand and say, pray for me, Brother Sis. Pray for me. I don't know for sure I'm saved. In the middle. Anybody. Pray for me, Brother Sis. I don't know for sure I'm saved and going to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Just lift your hand. Would you do it? Let me pray for you this morning. God bless you. Are there others? Pray for me, Brother Sis. I don't know for sure I'm saved and going to heaven. Pastor, come and pray for us.